Okay, welcome once again, boys and girls, mums and dads, everybody out there. This is Your Money and Your Mindset, and I'm your host, Law Wai Tan. As usual, I've got fascinating, interesting guests I bring on the show, and their job is to help you get clarity on what you want in life, or to give you help in terms of tips on improving your relationships with money, first and foremost. So welcome everybody in Stitcher, Vlog TV, Rail Coaching Radio TV, Network Receive Internet Radio, Radio Raccoon, New Media Radio TV, and our partner on the Android phone, it's Stitcher. Hi everybody, welcome again. So as you know, the purpose of the show is to inspire, to encourage, and to help you get clear on lots and lots of things, especially to do with your finances. But the point is, you got to know how to generate the cash and to do it in an ethical way, to do it in a way that doesn't clash with your values. Okay. Now, a lot of people can't say hand on heart that this is what's happening in their lives, or they say, yes, I'm following my passion, but there's no money in it. Wait, hang on a second. There is a way out of this. So we make the best professional decisions and personal decisions when we are clear. We are very specific and clear about what we want, and how we're going to get it is the next step. So whether you stay in your present corporate job or make that leap into business, it could be something that you've been thinking about, but lately what you see on the news about the global financial situation being less than stable, you step back into your safe comfort zone. But you know that's not where you want to be. So we're going to bring on this guest here today, and we're going to help, with Suzanne's help, get you clear on what you want, and how to get it is the second part. So it could not even be your relationship with money, but also your personal relationships, getting clear on that, because those two are fairly well linked together. So here is my special guest, Suzanne Cambots. How are you, Suzanne?
I'm well, thanks, Loai. Really well.
Excellent. Now, Suzanne, just to give you a rundown on her credentials, she's the founder of a company called Transformational Living. And she's also a certified practitioner of the Lifeline Technique, which is something we're going to talk about because it's a highly powerful technique. Actually, it's a whole lot of modalities, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we get a wisdom on how best to get a person to that point where they can make the best and clearest decision for their careers, for their money, wealth creation schemes, for their personal relationships, even that. So it includes things like astrology, numerology as well. We'll get that to that later. But first of all, for the sake of the folk out there who missed you the first time, can you tell us what this technique, Lifeline Technique, is all about? And can you explain it in layman's terms, please?
Okay, Lifeline Technique is a process that's been put together by a fellow, a chiropractor in the US, in Chicago, called Dr. Darren Weissman. And what he's really done is he's put together around 15 different modalities, I suppose sort of not healing modalities, you might call them, but it's like NLP, there's a big chunk of NLP, Chinese ancient elements, the elements fire, earth, metal, water, wood, and all of the emotions associated with those, colour therapy, there's all 15 of them. And what happens is that by putting these modalities together and using what's called muscle testing, now muscle testing is quite well recognized now as being a way to have a conversation with your body. Kinesiologists use muscle testing.
Why do we need to have a conversation with our body? Tell me.
Well, we need to have a conversation, with our body, because our body speaks the truth.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Our body speaks the truth.
Yeah.
Whereas what? We lie to each other.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, whereas our minds can play tricks on us. And so we can think that we know something, or we think we might feel a certain way, but in actual fact, it's not about thinking, it's about feeling.
Oh, that feeling thing again. We always seem to gravitate back to that, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's about feeling. So your body actually knows how it feels. your mind doesn't always know how you feel. So what happens is often we have a disconnect between our minds and our bodies. There's this disconnect. So when we actually encounter a feeling, it's like, let's say one of anger. Let's say that you feel angry about a certain situation. Then what happens is we're not allowed to feel angry, or we sort of like say, ooh, you might have a sense of that's what's going on, and then you'll just shove it down or push it away because you don't want to deal with that at the moment.
Because it's untidy, because you might lose control, because it's
inappropriate. Any of those sorts of reasons. Mm-hmm. And as I said, we're not allowed to feel angry, so we'll just sort of shove that aside. And times when we might let our anger out, like where we feel safer to let it out, might be in the car. That's a very great space to feel anger. But if you're in the middle of a business meeting with someone and they say something and you sort of get this sort of a hit of feeling angry, it might not be even anger or feel that you've been put down or feel that that's a disrespectful comment. Quite often we just ignore it because it's too scary to go there and address it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just pretend that nothing's really happened. But we got a hit, our body got a hit.
You feel a surge of adrenaline just about, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. Right. Or, you know, the typical is that kick in the guts. Someone might say something and then you get that kick in the guts.
Okay, you people out there, does that resonate with you? Can you identify with that? Like, you know, how do you handle situations like this without, you know, ending up in jail? So that's the extreme, folks. But I'm saying, okay, how do we process it so that it doesn't negatively affect a person's health? Because at the end of the day, if you're not well and you're sick, it doesn't matter how much money you've got. It's not fun. Okay, so it's gone off track a bit. So you're talking about these modalities and the fact that your muscle testing means the body is saying, really, this is what is happening, even though the head or the intellect might be saying, don't be ridiculous.
Yeah. So what happens is that we can then, in a Lifeline Technique session, we have a conversation with your body using, as I said, this muscle testing, or what's also known as kinesiology.
Yes.
Chiropractors also use kinesiology quite often as well. So they use it to check to see whether manipulations that they've done have worked and see whether the strength has come back into that arm or leg or whatever it might be. So what I do is that I then use this muscle testing, and it's used, we use your arm, and I press on your wrist. So we just have your arm at the side of your body and I just press on your wrist, and we can get yes, no answers from your body. So we're not connecting with your mind, we're connecting with your body. And your body's all energy. We are energetic beings. So your body is able to tell the truth. So I can go through a series of questions, and we ask your body these questions, and then your body tells me what's going on, and I just interpret that.
Okay, so it's kind of like, would it be fair to say we've lost touch with ourselves, in the sense that we either don't know how to listen, or we just haven't got time to listen, or we're just too scared to listen?
That it's a bit of all of that. It's a bit of all of that. So what's happened is we've actually shut off from our feelings or emotions. You know, we just can't go there. We haven't got time, or it's too scary, or we're just too busy. We're just...
too painful to go there?
Yeah, too painful and scary. And that's what we avoid going there. So what this does, in a safe environment, we have a conversation with your subconscious mind.
Via the body.
So then we're able to identify what some of these beliefs about ourselves are that we have that we won't acknowledge. So since we're a young child, we've been having experiences all our lives that have made us believe certain things about ourselves, and we don't go there and acknowledge these feelings. We just shove them down and pretend that they're not there. And, you know, part of doing that, you know, I can talk about, you know, my experience from having in the past been in corporate world and being driven, you know, like to succeed and to prove myself and to show how good I really was. And, you know, like working 10 to 16 hour days just to make sure that, you know, got everything done, because I couldn't possibly have shown anyone any cracks or anything that might have suggested that underlying all of this, I was actually feeling like a fraud. I was feeling inadequate. I was feeling quite often powerless about situations. So what, by going through this Lifeline Technique process, because I've done it on myself as well and had it done on me, I can now run sessions on myself all the time. So I'm able to get in touch with these hidden beliefs about myself, because kind of what comes with these hidden beliefs is, you know, the fact that you don't feel good enough, really underlying all of this stuff. So once I actually acknowledge that and see that that's what's really going on underneath, and that's part of what's driving me to try and prove to everyone that I am worthy, mm-hmm. when perhaps underneath I don't feel worthy. As I go through and clear all these beliefs, I become more and more connected with my feelings, with feelings. So then I can actually connect with these feelings, because it's our feelings that allow us to actually take action. Okay. Actions that we want to take, not that we are reactively taking.
Yeah, the knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
So coming back to the topic at hand today, it is, okay, how do I get clear? Let's say, hypothetically, somebody knows they're not entirely happy in the job they're in, but they have all these financial commitments, and at some level they know that there is a different path for them.
Yeah.
But that is still a bit fuzzy. Yeah. Now, that fuzziness, I'm just putting it out there, can be due to the fact that, like you say, all these unacknowledged fears and worries are still there, and that's clouding the issue. Whereas I feel that if we're very clear about what we want in life, it's much easier to step out, even though it's scary. You know, if you've got a corporate life and you want to get into business for yourself because you're passionate about making cupcakes, healthy cupcakes for kiddies so that they don't turn into obese, unhealthy adults, teaching people to eat well, but doing it in a way that you still be able to pay your bills, and not only that, become financially wealthy and independent as a result of it. So just going back to that, in today's conversation. So you people out there on Stick and Blog TV and everybody else watching, I'm sure you know of somebody who's in that situation. Or if you own up, you might also be in that sort of situation where you're wondering, what is the best course of action that I can take so that I'm not just going in all these different directions and then finding that I've burnt through my capital, or that, you know, it's an abject failure because it really wasn't what I wanted to do. But I just didn't know, and I just picked one out of a hat, so to speak, you know. So coming back to you with the muscle testing and the being clear about being focused and sharp about what is it that I want or the person wants, can you talk about how you help that person in terms of the questions you ask? I know it's not a cookie-cutter thing because we're all unique individuals, but generally, how would you get a person to that point?
Well, we go through a couple of sessions. One of the keys really is coming back to, and that's why Lifeline Technique is such an amazing process, is because part of what we need to do is connect to our feelings. So that's really is step one, because the thing is, we might have some clarity about what we want to do, but it might be head clarity. It might be in your head that you've decided that this would be a really good thing to do.
Like a good business opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like...
Let's run with that example.
Yeah. So, for example, I went along to a course on share trading. And it sounded really good. It sounded really interesting. The speakers were convincing. I thought, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
I could do that. And then I went away and I started doing it, and there was weekly webinars involved with this course that I was doing, and it was like, it was just totally, I couldn't get enthused about it. There would always be some excuse as to why I couldn't do the webinars on it, and all, you know, it was a total waste of time and money, really, because my head said, yeah, I can do this. Yeah. But was I passionate about it? No way. But at that stage, I was so disconnected from my feelings, I had no idea what my passion is. And so we talk about passion. Passion is just a feeling of excitement about something, or
enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm. It's passion is just enthusiasm for something. And so then you start to connect with what are you enthusiastic about. So, you know, for me, I can say, well, I love gardening.
Okay.
And like for me, keeping me out of the garden, I can't stop myself from being in the garden.
Okay, that's the secret, isn't it? I cannot stop myself because I'm so involved and so enthused and so happy to be doing that.
Yeah. Another thing for me that I'm absolutely passionate about is cooking and food. You know, like I see food, and when I'm around food and friends of mine see me around food, and I love picking at food and nibbling on food and cook, you know, like, and I just get such a huge amount of pleasure out of it. So there's another passion that I actually have. And if you look on the shelves behind me here, you know, they're full of books on numerology, astrology, on business, on leadership, on spirituality, on, you know, like, so there is another passion that I have, you know, learning and gaining knowledge in this area. Also a lot of on healing modalities as well. And given an original nursing background that I've got, that's what I first did when I left school.
Yeah.
So before going into corporate world. So there's always been an interest. Like when the TV is on, which it rarely is, but if a radio or TV article comes on that pertains to medicine or health, some health issues, I'm immediately drawn to it. So they're the ways that I've been able to identify that this is what my passions are, and they're often quite often around us, but we're just not aware of that. So when I have a client in front of me, we just talk through some issues, we talk about the work they do, and so the sorts of questions, what aspects of that work do you really enjoy? What aspects do you like? And it's amazing when you're talking to someone, how suddenly animated they become, or how their energy just lifts when they connect with something.
Their eyes light up and they smile, right?
But quite often they're not even aware that that's what they're doing. So I actually have to point it out to them and say to them
that they're really jazzed about a particular thing. Yeah.
Well, this aspect, you know, a fellow I was speaking to a while ago, he actually has been working for government for what here is called Centrelink, so it's sort of welfare agencies, etc. Now, aspects of him hated the work that he did, really toxic environment to work in, but he actually ended up finding himself doing some training within the department
within
that
the
he was working within the organisation. And so, you know, we identified that this aspect of training and teaching for him was something that really turned him on.
Okay, so he didn't have to leave his job, so he had that sense of security, folks, if you're wondering, but he could still express an aspect of himself that had been shut down for a while.
And he's actually now left that organisation because he's doing some other things, but now starting to develop his some ideas around where that might take him. Now, for instance, when I said to him teaching and education, all he could think of was children. And he went, bleh.
High school and kids.
He just, and okay. So it was about having that discussion with him and talking about, well, it doesn't have to be anything to do with kids. What about adults? What about just out there, you know, talking and educating people about something that you're passionate about? And this is what I've started to do in my role, as well as doing Loveline Technique and classes and work in this area that I'm speaking about now. I've also integrated my other passions into what I do. So what I'm now doing is I'm doing cooking classes to groups of people, 8 to 10 people. We have the class at lunchtime. We go through, like, the most recent one I've done is cooking salads for summer. It's we're moving into summer here. People are bored with their repertoire of salads. So we have 6 different salads. We teach them, yeah, they get the recipes. We teach them how to do it. And then we sit out in my beautiful garden, which is 3/4 of an acre of garden. And it's beautiful. So we nourish our bodies and our souls with beautiful, fresh foods in a wonderful garden setting. So how nourishing is that for our bodies and souls?
Mm.
So there I am integrating another aspect of myself and my passions into what I do.
Already do. So, folks, it's not just either or. You see, a lot of people think they can only do one thing and that's it. Otherwise, you know, it's being, for some people it might be seem to be, it's just too much, or some people might feel that, oh, I'm being too greedy. So think about that. If these things come up for you as you're hearing what Suzanne is saying and you think, gee, but I thought she was into transformational sort of lifeline techniques, but now she's talking about another one of her passions. But can you see how seamlessly these things dovetail, provided, first and foremost, to be honest, you had to do a lot of work on yourself to get to this point, yes?
Yes, I did. Absolutely. And for quite a long time, whilst I've always loved food and I've sort of had a small catering business with my sister, but I thought that was more about her than me, I felt that the foodie part of it was probably a distraction from from what my true purpose is. But then when I look at, now I sort of bring in the astrology and the numerology. So when I look at that aspect and my astrology chart, it's all there. It's absolutely all there. Like, I'm a Taurian.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Taurians is all around home.
Home comforts,
yes. Food. Yes. You find most Taurians are into food and home comforts and everything. So what happens, and there's many other aspects as well, but it's it's connecting with what I'm here to do. And
when you say that, do you talk about in a spiritual sense what I'm here to do?
Yeah. I'm here. We're all here in a spiritual, from my perspective, I'm just giving my belief here, that we're all here on this planet to share our natural gifts and talents.
Okay, so folks, everyone's got natural gifts and talents. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, because there'll be people out there who tell you that, in fact, you know, don't be silly, you've got a good secure job in, I don't know, being an accountant, because as a kid you were good with numbers, but in fact you hate it.
Yeah.
But you're still doing it. So ask yourself, why am I still doing this if it doesn't float my boat? Because as Suzanne has said, go on.
Oh yeah, we're just saying that we are here to share our natural gifts and talents, but so often we're unable to connect with our gifts and talents, just the same way as many, many people turn around and say, oh, I'm not creative.
That's rubbish.
We are all creative. We are here. We are creative beings. We have been created uniquely and individually, and we are all creative. So what happens is people limit themselves by thinking, oh, creativity is about art or painting, music or painting or whatever it is. But we are being creative at every moment. So it's about connecting with your creativity and starting to think creatively and starting to open up ourselves to possibilities and opportunities and ideas. They abound at every moment and we just don't see them. And it's just like with, you know, these cooking classes that I've started doing, friends of mine have been saying to me for years, Suze, you ought to be doing cooking classes. And I've just like, oh, you know, like it's, I don't know, I just never really connected with it.
It's like, yeah, whatever.
I like doing that, but it was just, I don't know, it seemed too hard. Certainly I couldn't do it when I was in corporate world, and suddenly I've started doing it, and friends are just like, wow, yes, I'll be there, and sure enough, they're coming along, and they're just loving it, and the feedback that I'm getting is incredible, and it's so energizing for me.
That's something I want to ask you. Okay, on one level, yes, it is like a business because then, yes, it's generating income. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. But what really I'd like to ask is, you know, when you look inside, doing that, as in running those cooking classes because it's your passion,
mm-hmm.
is the main reward for you, isn't it? Because you get so happy doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The money is just a sideline that is like a bonus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So I
it's not
get,
for them, it's for you.
No, I get so much pleasure out of doing what it is, you know, by sitting, you know, like doing, showing them how to cook. I'm also, because of my health bent, you know, like my passion for health and well-being, because it's not just emotional health and well-being, but it's also nutritionally,
yes.
you know, our bodies, our minds, and so we have different areas. So we have our physical bodies that need to be cared for, our emotional bodies that need to be cared for, our minds need to be cared for, and our spirits.
Mm.
Our spirit, or soul for some people, might recognize the word as soul. But our soul or our spirit just being our higher self. So this covers all those aspects of my being. And so in doing that, then other people are able to pick that up and to be able to tap into that. But I don't have to give my energy away to them. I'm just energizing myself.
So that energizes you.
Yeah.
And the spin-off is that they go away feeling better about themselves or whatever it is. Or they've actually picked up very practical, handy tips about eating healthily. And eating healthily doesn't mean it's got to be boring.
No, not at all.
That's the point, folks. Don't think that it's boring that you have to eat, I don't know, alfalfa sprouts all day. But actually, there's lots more good things in it if we go looking for it. It's like a virtuous cycle. If you physically, you feed your body with healthy, nutritious food, you're going to feel better. You're going to have more energy. You're going to be able to go out there and basically fulfill your passion and chase down your dreams. It's not going to happen if you stuff your face with crap, okay? Because you'd be very tired all the time, and your arteries start to clog with, you know, cholesterol, and it's not good. So basically, it's a virtuous cycle for them as well. But primarily, I'm just trying to hammer in this point, is that it's for the person who's actually pursuing their passion. In your case, it is food. So you folks out there, if you want to get clear on this and say, and you've got clarity, and then the but comes in, as in, you know, but I, will I make money? But I've got bills to pay. You know, but what will my family think? Stuff what your family thinks. It's not about them. It's about you. You know, they've got their lives to live and not impose their life, their will on you. You've got only one life in this lifetime. So you might as well make it a big life and a happy life. And as you can see from Suzanne's face when she talks about food, it's just like, you know, it's like another 100 watts in this room.
No, I just want to tap into what you were just saying there, because this is one of the things that I work with in Lifeline Technique, is the fear of what other people will say and think is just huge.
And we care. And for some peculiar reason, we care about what people think.
We do. And see, Lorwai can say these things, and we can logically say these things and say, yes, well, it shouldn't matter to anyone else what you think and do and feel. But the fact is that we do worry about this, and this comes back to the emotional work, because as a child, we may have done something and then got into trouble for doing it, and then felt rejected, then felt abandoned as a little child, and then felt that we were unlovable because mummy or daddy told us to go to our rooms or to get into that corner or to do whatever. And so we developed a belief about ourselves that if we started to speak up or wanted to do different things or whatever, that we were not allowed to do that and we'd be rejected. So in essence,
it's disapproval, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we carry these beliefs right through into our adulthood, unless we do some work on these things and acknowledge these things. So one of the things that I work on with clients just about at every session is about letting go of the fact that they don't need approval from mum or dad or friends or brothers.
And these are 50 or even 60-year-olds who still feel that the parent is there having a go at them.
Yep, absolutely. You know, like I recently spoke to a woman who probably did need to leave her husband. I would never actually recommend that recommend it. But we work through it and we work with it and whatever. So, but her biggest fear about leaving her husband was what her mother would think and say.
And how old was she?
Well, she was in her 50s. So her mother must have been in her 80s.
Or even from beyond the grave, mother would still be, wagging a finger at her.
Yeah, exactly. So her greatest fear. Now, she didn't actually realise until we worked with her in this session that that is what she was afraid of, that her mother would reject her because she left her husband. And usually we have thoughts of beliefs that we're a failure if we can't do it, and we absolutely have to make this work and everything. It's sort of, this is where earlier on in the interview Lorwai said that our jobs or our vocations and careers are sort of linked with our relationships, because you'll find that they go hand in hand, really. Whatever's going on, your fears that are going on and your jobs are going on in your relationships as well. So if you've got these issues going on, as a result of what, with your family, or
the people you consider important and whose opinions you consider important.
It's whether it's relationship, family or work.
Yeah.
It's the same motivations and the same issues are going on underlying these. So what happens is we start to clear these issues, or we start to acknowledge and to recognise what's going on. And the thing is, what I work with people on this, it's not like you chose to feel that way. It's subconscious. And subconscious means that it's under our conscious radar. We can't choose to feel this way.
Hey, by the way, we're being featured on Stickum. So hello, everybody out in Stickum. We're just saying hi. This is Suzanne Cambert. And talking about getting clarity on our choices we make, whether it's career, personal, relationships, etc. So thank you for joining us, Stickum people. So if you've got any questions for Suzanne, this is a good time to ask, especially if you're thinking about quitting your job or changing careers or going into business when you've spent your life in the corporate world, and it's scary, but it's exciting at the same time. You know you're on the right track, okay, folks? Let me tell you that. If you feel scared and you feel excited at the same time, that is, again, going back to tapping into the energy and the, the body telling us the truth, yet we have lost the ability to interpret that, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so with the lifeline technique that you help your clients with is to listen to our bodies probably screaming at us saying, that corporate job is killing you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why are you still in it? And then also giving, once we get clear on it, we tend to become a bit braver, yes?
Yes,
not absolutely entirely brave. And there are no guarantees, by the way, but at least we're brave enough to explore that option and to take some action in that direction that we want to move in.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this process